We read together in God's Word in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're reading the opening verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Many Christians, when they think of the work of the Holy Spirit, will think of the dramatic, of the miraculous, of the spectacular. The presence of the Holy Spirit, to some Christians, must be evident by something very open and obvious and public and dramatic. And yet the scriptures show us that the most wonderful, the most precious working of the Holy Spirit is often something that's invisible to others. Yet it is tremendously significant for our spiritual welfare. One area where that is the case is in relation to assurance of salvation. Do you find yourself sometimes wondering, well, am I really a Christian? How can I be sure? Or am I still a Christian? I know years ago I committed my life to the Lord, but maybe perhaps something has happened and I'm not saved any longer, or maybe in future, someday I'll lose my salvation. Talking to a couple of young men recently, we were visiting this church, and in the course of wide-ranging discussion, the whole issue of can you be saved and lost came up, and they were absolutely amazed that anybody could believe that once saved, always saved. They could not take it in that just because you're saved today, you think you'll always be saved, and they were absolutely incredulous at such a concept. The Holy Spirit's ministry of assurance is tremendously important, reminding us that once God has begun a work of grace in us, he will carry it through to completion. And there are various ways, of course, of approaching the issue of assurance. We've looked at it at various times in the past, but I want to look at it particularly from the point of view of the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit today, to look at three descriptions of the Holy Spirit's work in the Christian, each of which confirms our assurance that we belong to the Lord, that we will continue to be the Lord's. It's something that we need to have clear in our minds for our own welfare, for our own peace. Otherwise, we're constantly anxious and worried. And it's something, too, we need to understand to minister to others. It may be assurance is a problem for someone you know, someone in your family, a friend, and they're doubtful and questioning, will I continue as a Christian? So these are important matters. We want to think of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and assurance. And there are three pictures. There are many we could draw on, but three pictures of the work of the Holy Spirit that help us with regard to assurance. I want to think, first of all, of the Holy Spirit as seal. The Holy Spirit as seal. And we find that description in the passage we read earlier there in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 13, Paul writes, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." So there Paul is telling us not simply that the Holy Spirit seals us, but he is the seal. Here is something that is part of the experience of every Christian, that the Holy Spirit seals us. There's the foundation of our assurance of salvation. You see, if we simply think of our own spiritual experience and how am I doing and how do I feel as a Christian today, we will be up and we'll be down. It'll depend on all sorts of factors. If we're going to have a solid assurance of salvation, we need to be looking away from ourselves to God's work, and in particular the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals and is the seal that marks the true Christian. What is a seal? What function does it fulfill? Because that will help us to grasp what the Holy Spirit means to us. Well, a seal, first of all, is a mark of ownership. Especially in the ancient world, objects, possessions would be marked with a seal. That was especially true of royal property. The king would have a seal on his property, and anyone who saw it knew that belongs to the king. That's not for anybody else. That is exclusively for the king. His seal is upon it. And there's still something of that in modern day as well, when a seal can be used to mark property. It spoke of exclusive rights. Nobody else could use what had the king's seal upon it. And that helps us to understand something of the Holy Spirit's role in the Christian. He is the mark of ownership that God puts on us when he saves us. We no longer belong to the world. We no longer belong to the devil. We belong to the Lord. And he marks us by putting the Holy Spirit within us. It's a stamp, a mark of ownership. That kind of language in Revelation 7, for example. Revelation 7 and verse 3 speaks of a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. As if the Lord marked the foreheads of his people. You almost might think of it like a cattle brand. Again, the mark is put on there. And you know who the owner is, and it mustn't be interfered with. Now, of course, we know it's not a visible mark that other people see. It's not as if Christians walk around with some kind of mark on their foreheads that people see. It's a spiritual mark. It's the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, within us. The fact the Holy Spirit indwells us tells us that we belong to the Lord. The fact that he's within our heart says, you're a child of God. The Lord claims you. You don't belong to yourself any longer. You belong to the Lord. And that's something that should be very precious to the Christian. We belong to another. God makes no mistakes. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. The foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, The Lord knows those that are his. Sometimes we think the important thing is that I know God. Of course, that's important. But far more important that God knows us. In grace and in love, he knows us, he takes us as his own, and he marks us with the Holy Spirit. Nothing can wipe out that seal. It can't be prized off. It can't be obliterated. And the Holy Spirit's put in the heart of a believer. We belong to the Lord. We've changed ownership once and for all. The seal is a mark of ownership. And the Spirit's in your heart. You belong to the Lord. Spirit is a seal, as a mark of ownership. The Spirit is a seal, is also a guarantee of genuineness. Because when documents are sealed, legal documents, charters, when the seal is affixed, there's a guarantee. This is the real thing. You go back to the book of Esther, for example. In Esther 3, when documents were being produced in the name of the king, being sent out to the provinces, the royal seal was attached. People would see it. They knew this isn't a forgery. This is the genuine thing. And you see it as you look back in history at documents. You think of some of the charters, the Middle Ages, huge seals on them. And there was a guarantee this is genuine. And again, especially the royal seal. This is in the king's name. No one dare interfere with it. And Paul, remarkably, regarded those who were converted under his ministry as a seal of his apostleship. That's how he describes the converts in 1 Corinthians 9:2. You're the seal of my apostleship. How did people know Paul was really an apostle? He would point to the fruit of his ministry. They're a seal. They are a mark of the genuineness of my apostleship. And so it is with regard to the work of the Holy Spirit. Possessing the Holy Spirit as he indwells our hearts marks out the true Christian. Oh, it's easy for people, of course, to profess to be Christians. Plenty of people do it. There was a time in this province when, I suppose, almost everybody to some extent made a kind of profession. But we know, of course, that often professions are empty. They're not genuine. Only those who possess the Spirit in their hearts are true children of God. People can fool themselves. Maybe you've known some like that who even believed themselves they were Christians for a time and then eventually realized they never were saved. But this is the certainty. The Holy Spirit is at work in your heart. There's the evidence of the genuineness of your profession. You truly belong to the Lord. That shows a profession isn't empty. It isn't a self-deception. It's the real thing. It's something a bit like a hallmark on something that's made of precious metal. As you know, here's an object, perhaps Antiques Roadshow. Is this gold? Is this silver? Is this just base metal? And they look for the hallmark. And those who study these things know the genuine hallmarks. That'll tell you, is this gold? Is it silver? Is it worthless? And spiritually speaking, the Holy Spirit is like the hallmark on our experience. When he is there, when he is at work in our hearts, see, there is the real thing. There is a true Christian. Not simply someone who sits in a church, someone who attends Christian meetings, someone who mixes with Christians. You can do all of those things and yet not be saved. When the Holy Spirit is truly in your heart, and you're trusting in Christ, there's a real work of grace. There is the genuine article. A child of God. The seal is a mark of ownership. The seal is a guarantee of genuineness. And the seal, thirdly, is a protection against tampering. A protection against tampering. When the document is sealed, then it can't be adjusted, it can't be changed. It's fixed, it's certain. And you see the same thing with regard to Jesus' tomb. You remember when the Lord was buried, what did they do? They put a seal on the stone so that it couldn't be tampered with, so that the disciples couldn't interfere and steal the body. And of course, God in his power simply blew that away, but there could be no human tampering with the seal. You find the same language in Revelation 5. Here's a scroll, sealed, and it cannot be interfered with. It cannot be broken into. Only the Lord could open the scroll. The seal was a protection. And so it is for us as God's people. And the Holy Spirit indwells our hearts. When he seals us, there's an assurance that nothing can interfere with our salvation. Nothing can change our position as children of God, as members of God's family. And so we read in chapter 4, verse 30 of Ephesians, of the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, until that day of glory comes, when Christ returns in majesty, we are sealed and secure and kept by the power of God. And that should fill us with thanksgiving. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? When you belong to the Lord, when the Spirit's in your heart, when you're sealed, you are secure until that day Christ comes back. And that's the language of certainty Paul uses in Philippians 1. He speaks of God who's begun a good work in you. He'll carry it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. But of the Spirit at work in your heart means you are sealed. It guarantees you will reach that final glory. And in the days, perhaps when you're downcast and you're doubting and you're struggling, you can come back to that certainty, the Spirit's in my heart, I'm sealed, and so I am owned by the Lord. I belong to him. I am genuine. I'm a child of God by grace. And my salvation cannot be tampered with. I'm secure. The Holy Spirit, a seal. The second picture we have in Scripture is the Holy Spirit as witness. As witness. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit as witness. Already in verse 15 of Romans 8, Paul has described the Spirit as the Spirit of adoption. We are children of God, and we receive the Spirit because we are children. And what does he do in our hearts? We've talked about him indwelling, but what does he do in our hearts? He stirs love and confidence as children of God. We are adopted into God's family. And the Lord doesn't want us always wondering, do I really belong? Am I truly a child? As any father wants his children to be sure they belong, our Father in heaven wants us to be sure we belong in the family. And the Holy Spirit himself works alongside our spirit. The truths that we've been thinking about, the Holy Spirit, a seal, never change. But we need to make them part of our living and our thinking as Christians, to appropriate them personally. That it's a day-by-day experience that I belong to the Lord. I am a child of God. And the Holy Spirit, as a witness, does that work in our hearts. He helps us to understand, yes, grace is at work in my heart. I belong to the Lord. Now, it's not that the Holy Spirit reveals some new truths to us. All the truth we need is already in the Bible. The Holy Spirit as witness doesn't add something to the Bible. But what he does is bring the truths of Scripture home to our hearts. As you read what the Bible says about a Christian, the Holy Spirit helps you to see, yes, that's me. That applies to me. The Holy Spirit helps you to hear your Father's voice in the Bible. It's not just an abstract book like a textbook you read in school. It's your Father talking, and you recognize his voice. This is my God who addresses me here. That's the Holy Spirit working in your heart. That's his witness that you belong to the Lord. When you read the promises that God gives, a promise like Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know by the Spirit's working that is God's promise to me. That applies to me. The Spirit makes these truths personal. That they're our Father addressing us and speaking to us about our salvation. The Holy Spirit brings the word home in a direct, living way to our hearts. He helps us to see this applies to me. And that's a vital ministry. He doesn't add to what's in the Scriptures, but he illumines it, he applies it, he helps you to take it and believe it and act on it and live it. And he stirs in us a love for the Lord. Do you find in your heart a love for the Lord Jesus Christ? That he's beautiful to you, he's precious to you? Where's that come from? It's the Spirit working in your heart, stirring up love for your Savior, and working a deeper and deeper love for him. That's part of our assurance. I belong to the Lord. I love him. I'm his. He is mine. And the Spirit works that work of witness in us. It's a very powerful experience the Christian has. The Spirit indwells us and opens up the Scriptures. That's why we pray when we come to study God's Word. We pray that the Spirit will open it up and apply it and bless it to us. He assures us we're the objects of the love of God. Romans 5, verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Not a beautiful picture. The Spirit pours out a sense of God's love in our hearts that warms us, that excites us, that uplifts us, that encourages us when we're down. That's all part of the witness of the Holy Spirit. That helps to assure us, I'm a child of God. And that's there for every believer. You know, sometimes perhaps we might think, well, is it not presumptuous to say, I'm sure I'm a Christian? Does that not sound a bit arrogant? And maybe sometimes people have tackled you in that way. Who are you to say, I'm sure I'm a Christian? Now, who do you think you are? Are you better than everybody else? And maybe you wonder, how do I answer that? Well, the answer has to be, well, I believe I'm a Christian, I'm sure I'm a Christian, because God tells me. And God's at work in me. It's not because I manage to be such a good person or because I feel certain things. I'm taking God at his word. I've trusted in Christ and the Lord assures me, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm one of his children. And the Spirit's witness is part of that. Now, in God's providence, sometimes we struggle with assurance. Sometimes it's temperament. There are people who temperamentally do find it more difficult to have assurance of salvation. Others, it appears, they never have an anxious thought. And God works differently in each of us And we need to be very careful that I don't take my experience and say, you've got to be like that, and you've got to feel like that. And you've got to be aware you don't do that with others as well. We're all different, but the same Holy Spirit works in each of us. And those who do waver, and perhaps do have a lot of doubts, the Holy Spirit is able to give you strength, to reassure you. He's able to make you strong in your conviction you belong to the Lord. And when you experience that witness of the Spirit, as the Word comes home to your heart and you're blessed by it, and you're assured of your salvation, you should praise the Lord for such a blessed ministry. That the Lord wants you to know you're His, and He wants you to be assured you're saved. And praise Him when you do experience that work of the Spirit, the Spirit's witness, as you read the Word, as you spend time in prayer. And again, you're assured, I belong to the Lord. I've been saved by grace. The Holy Spirit is a seal. The Spirit is a witness. And then the third picture is the Spirit as a deposit. The Spirit as a deposit. And we have that also in Ephesians 1 that we read earlier. Two of the pictures come close together here. Ephesians 1 and verse 14. Paul's referred to the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. The deposit. In the older translations, the word that was used was an earnest. That's not a word we use nowadays, but it was an important word in its day, an earnest. An earnest was the first payment that guaranteed that the rest of the debt would be paid. It was something like a deposit, a pledge, but the word's even a bit stronger than that. It was a guarantee that the full payment would be made. So the Holy Spirit we're to think of in that way. He's like the first installment that guarantees all the blessings of salvation are going to be paid out to us. There is no doubt about it. God has bound Himself. He's given His word that all the blessings of salvation that Christ has purchased will be our possession. And the possession of the Holy Spirit guarantees that God isn't going to change His mind. He will not give you the Holy Spirit in your heart and then somehow refuse to give you the glory still to come. Utterly impossible. This is the God who says in Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I do not change. As Christians, we need have no fear that God will retract His promise or fail to honor it. Maybe you've experienced in life somebody's made a promise and then they don't carry it through. Circumstances change. I wasn't able to. Some excuse. We are dealing with a God who will never retract His promises. And we're told in 2 Corinthians 1:22, He's put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That deposit lasts until the fulfillment of the contract, until the full enjoyment of all the blessings that the Lord Jesus has purchased for us. The Spirit's the first installment. Now think of that for a moment. Think of the blessings that already we enjoy as Christians. Think of the blessedness of belonging to Christ. Though there are the times of trial and testing, there are wonderful blessings. Fellowship with the Lord. Growth in grace. Now, if that, by the work of the Spirit, is just the foretaste of what's to come, what will the day of glory be like? If this is just a deposit that we now have, what is still to come for the children of God? It's beyond imagination What we have at the moment is wonderful. We praise God for his goodness. But what God is preparing for his children will far surpass anything that we've ever known. In Romans 8:23, Paul speaks about the first fruits of the Spirit, the first sheaf of grain that tells us the harvest is coming. Well, if the first sheaf is so good, what will the harvest be like? Think of the glory to come. Can we begin to imagine what God has in store for us? The day of redemption, when all the blessings, salvation in its fullness, will be ours. The very presence of sin abolished. We see the Lord face to face. We'll be able to serve him in perfection for eternity. The deposit is wonderful, but the full payment will be surpassingly glorious. All of grace. The Spirit now indwells us and blesses us and gives us assurance, and those are rich blessings. But the best is still to come. And the Spirit's presence in our hearts guarantees all will be ours. We never need to fear. I've started on the Christian road. I've traveled a certain distance, but I might not make it to the end. Oh, if it depended on us, we certainly wouldn't make it to the end. But it depends on the Lord. The Holy Spirit in our hearts tells us, God will bring you to glory. That isn't an excuse for sin. It's not an excuse to live carelessly. Far from it. If God's already given you such blessings, don't you long to live for him and grow in holiness and look forward to the day of glory? The Holy Spirit's ministry of assurance is very precious. He's the seal that tells us we belong to the Lord. We are truly his children, and our salvation cannot be tampered with. The witness of the Holy Spirit as he brings the scriptures alive and applies them to our hearts that says to us, this means you. This is your Father talking to you. The Holy Spirit's the deposit, the first stage in even more wonderful things to come. May the ministry of the Holy Spirit give us a deep, strong assurance of salvation for our own security in the Lord and to minister to others for his glory, because it's all his work.